Welcome to the HSP podcast. I'm Julie Bieland, a licensed psychotherapist specializing in the highly sensitive and neurodiverse. I founded Sensitive Empowerment and this podcast to help improve the mental and physical health for those of us with unique brain wiring and sensitive nervous systems. My passion is encouraging the embrace of neurodiversity as a natural and necessary diversity supporting humanity. Listen to more episodes, join the community, and explore an extensive collection of resources I've created, including my online courses at sensitiveconnection.com. Enjoy this episode. I'm happy to share a special guest expert today. I love bringing in HSP experts to share their knowledge and experiences. Please welcome our special guest.
So welcome, everyone. I'm Rebecca Jo Rushstein. Today's topic is on family well-being, decluttering and designing a life where every family member can thrive. We're recording live in the Sensitive Empowerment community, which is a positive alternative to social media for sensitive people. You can learn more and join us at sensitivecommunity.com. So the method that I'm teaching you guys today is vastly different from traditional organizing. This is an introspective tidying method that's rooted in gratitude and infused with self-compassion and energy management that not only creates physical space, but also new mental clarity. I read Marie Kondo's book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, 11 years ago. And never look back. I was heavily pregnant at that time. And even though I grew up in a very tidy environment, I realized upon reading her book that I had been tidying wrong my entire life. I also suffered from extreme shopaholic tendencies as well. So being able to infuse this introspective method helped me to break the cycle of the shopaholic tendencies and to be able to lean towards coping mechanisms that were healthier too. It also changed my life so much that back in 2017, I took my family on a journey around the world to follow our joy. And I also became a certified KonMari consultant 4 years ago so that I can guide other people through this life-changing method. I discovered that I was an HSP about 18 months ago. So along with discovering that both my daughters, who are 7 and 9 years old, they're both HSP empaths as well. It was this light bulb moment that so many of us are familiar with. And it's propelled me with the mission to empower my kids with all the tools I wish I had growing up. And this method of tidying can help to cultivate that. Since then, I've decided to niche down and guide empaths and HSPs to cultivate boundaries, build confidence through the foundational tool of decluttering with gratitude, and to learn how to let go in a healthy way. There's an abundance of research that supports this. This one is from Stanford University. Physical clutter competes for our mental attention, resulting in increased anxiety and decreased productivity. So this is across the board for all humans. When we see clutter, simply seeing clutter will raise our cortisol levels. And as sensitive souls, we all know that we process things much more deeply. So it's going to impact us a lot more, right? So how does it make you feel when you mention the word decluttering and organizing? You can drop it into the chat as well. In previous sessions, many might say that they feel overwhelmed. They might feel that panic, a tightness in the chest. So when I guide people through this gentle method of decluttering, I ask you guys, the first step is to become aware and forgiving of ourselves. Most of us have never learned how to declutter and how to let go. If anything, we were taught to hoard, and it was very fear-based, right? It was this false sense of safety that might have been passed down from the previous generations and our ancestors. So we have to hold space for our ancestors and the generations before us because they lived in incredibly unsafe times compared to the times that we live in now. So for them, hoarding and keeping every scrap and keeping it out of guilt. It came from the kind of environment that they had to endure. So when we're able to recognize that and hold space for the generation before us, we can create an empowered narrative so that we can break the cycle for generations to come. This method is filled with positive psychology. So our space becomes filled with joy and conscious choices. Our home should be a sanctuary that nourishes and charges us up, because our outer world reflects our inner world. Just like how we charge our devices, we need our space, our physical space, to charge us up too. So this method can help us to cultivate mindfulness and confident decision-making skills. It helps to deepen relationships as well, and it creates more harmony at home. When there's so much shame around it, this is where we start from. We start with the self-compassion piece, just recognizing that, you know what, I had never been taught, and now I have the ability, I have the opportunity to learn how to declutter with joy so that it becomes a self-regulation tool as well. And it's also a necessary act of self-care. It's very different from traditional organizing, because typically when we say, okay, let's declutter, we start with what we want to eliminate from our lives. So the KonMari method is very different in the fact that we start with the things that we want to choose, we want to keep in our lives, the things that are that full body yes, the things that bring joy and purpose into our lives as well. It seems seemingly simple, but we don't realize that we have a lot of negativity bias in our brains too. So we're always seeking out problems and things that are wrong. So we start with the things that bring us joy. So this actually helps to create new neural pathways as well. The more that is practiced, the more that these pathways are strengthened, what it does is that it will ultimately guide us to view life through the lens of gratitude. Not knowing that I was an HSP growing up, I didn't have this knowledge with me, meant that I grew up with a very strong negativity bias. I felt like I didn't fit in. Everything was, doom and gloom. And I had a very, very harsh inner critic. This method really propelled that transformation within me, because we need to be able to practice it. The positive, compassionate ways that we speak to ourselves, the gratitude as well. We know that gratitude is great for us, right? Like, we know that it boosts our immune system as well. But knowing and doing are two different things. So we actually have to practice it. And we have that wonderful opportunity right in our home. It's that training ground where we can practice the letting go. We can practice the gratitude as well. And it's done in a gentle way. So don't fear it. Don't worry. And it's something that we can look forward to. So the method is, we don't do it room by room. This is another huge difference from the KonMari method and the traditional organizing. So we actually start with clothing first, and then we go on to books and then paper. Kimono means miscellaneous in Japanese, which is everything else under the sun. Your cleaning products, your hobby items, seasonal items, kitchen items, bathroom products, so on and so forth. And then the last but not least category, that one is sentimental items. So why we do it in this sequence, again, is because we want to strengthen our joy checking muscles. We want to be able to avoid the panic and the overwhelm. So when we start with clothing is typically the easiest category to start with. And then we work our way down to the high intensity categories, which is the kimono, the miscellaneous, and the sentimental items. When we're able to gently guide ourselves, strengthen our muscles, then we're able to face the more tricky, the more challenging categories with more ease and joy and with confidence as well. I like to give a lot of fitness analogies. So if you have never worked out before, you wouldn't be going into a Spartan Ironman race, right? Like, you have to go gentle first. And it's also really gentle on the nervous system, because one of the big mistakes that I see most of the time, people say, oh, I'm going to do my kitchen, but actually kitchen is a kimono category. It's a more high intensity category. And you open up your junk drawer, you open up that closet of doom, and it will dysregulate you. You'll go into overdrive, you go into panic, your cortisol levels are rising as well. And then it's not infused with joy. So it feels overwhelming. And most of the time we just shut it and shove it back closed. So this is why there's a lot of wisdom in the way that we approach it. We approach it category by category. Another reason why is because when you do everything by its category, you can make sound decisions. So let me give you an example. So even within clothing, you can divide it into subcategories. If you feel like your entire clothing category is too overwhelming to approach. So let's say that you start with your shoes. What you do is you gather all of your shoes all together, and then you first select what sparks joy, what brings you joy, and what serves a purpose. Maybe a pair of rain boots don't spark joy, but the purpose will spark joy, right? So you start with those items first. And what that does is it actually regulates you. You feel that sense of abundance. You actually feel that emotional safety as well. And then when we actually have chosen, okay, these are the resounding yeses. These are the things that are like a no-brainer. I'm going to keep these shoes. Then you are able to reflect thoughtfully, mindfully, and choose consciously on the remaining items. You might be able to say, you know what? I have 5 pairs of trainers already. So these trainers, I'm okay. I'm ready to let it go. So it comes from that empowered place rather than letting it go with scarcity mindset or fear-based. And then you're also able to reflect. So this is the power of gratitude that we're infusing into it. We have to be grateful for the things that we're letting go. So I had mentioned earlier that I was a chronic shopaholic, like serious shopaholic, you know, massively in debt. And I couldn't leave a shop without buying something. I will get packages that I had no recollection of ordering as well. And through this gentle method, I was able to reflect on, okay, you know what? I bought this as an impulse. I bought this because I felt like I couldn't turn down the sales lady, right? Or I bought this because this was my coping mechanism of trying to fill that void of unhappiness that I felt for so long in my life. So when I was able to just reflect on it, for example, let's say fast fashion, I was able to break the cycle of shopping at fast fashion stores because I was able to look at those items and say, you know what? The quality didn't last. And this is where we use the gratitude piece. And I said, thank you. Thank you so much for teaching me that I want to buy quality over quantity. I want to be able to support ethical businesses instead of sweatshop labor. And I want to be able to support Mother Earth as well and not have so many things end up in landfills too. So this is what softens the edges to letting go. And then we're able to let go in a healthy way while capturing the wisdom from those wounds. This is the key component because when we're able to reflect on the things that we're letting go that no longer serve a purpose, this is how we're able to change future purchasing behaviors as well. And then we can shop more consciously, intentionally, and mindfully. This method is absolutely for everybody. I've worked with everyone from, you know, age 2 all the way to like their 80s. And it is such a beautiful method because everyone deserves to be deeply seen and heard. So if you have multiple family members, if you have kids, to support them, is first of all, is to hold space. This is a question that I get so often, which is, how do I make my kids, husband, mother-in-law, whoever, declutter? And the answer is always lead by example. Start with your own belongings first. This is also why the clothing category is number one, because only you yourself can decide what lights you up. So when you start with your own belongings, then you're going to be able to hold space and guide other family members if they are open to. We always want to lead by example and to inspire them. And I've seen it in countless cases where people will naturally gravitate and they'll just see your energy shift. There's a lot of energetic clutter as well. So our space will drain us if it's cluttered, and it'll manifest in our body and how we show up for ourselves and all those around you too. So when you start to invest in yourself and to take care of your space and your belongings, other people will just naturally notice this shift. Another thing to do with family members is to always make it fun. You know, it is a bonding experience. It's one of the last remaining screen-free activities that we can do with family members. And the holding space for them, especially for young kids, actually helps them to develop confidence in articulating what they love and what they don't want. Typically around the age of 7 to 8 years old, this is when kids start to develop people-pleasing tendencies. So I'm a recovering people-pleaser. I don't know about you guys, but by being able to practice on my own belongings, to be able to say yes and no, and practice not being riddled with guilt, it has helped immensely. Right? So now I'm able to see it in my HSP kids as well, that they're able to say no and align themselves. And these are all the tools that I wish I had growing up. So it also creates space for necessary self-care. And it is also a self-regulation tool. I see my family members still lean into it. And we're able to use time intentionally too, because once you start this decluttering journey, you recognize not only the things that you're bringing into the home, but you also become really conscious of what you're consuming, whether it's food or media as well, what kind of people that you're surrounded by too. And it's all about finding that alignment with your space supporting you. You can integrate the necessary self-care of cleaning, you know, doing laundry. My husband loves folding laundry now as well. My kids are able to reset their room independently and know that it regulates our nervous system. Okay, so just like how I mentioned earlier, that simply seeing clutter will increase your cortisol levels. The opposite is true. When you declutter and tidy, even for 10 minutes, even just washing dishes, it will actually regulate and calm your nervous system. And how amazing is that? We have all these tools just right at home, but we need to create a stable foundation first so that we are creating those conditions that it can support it being a self-regulation tool. Because if there is no system in place, if there's no designated homes for the items, then it will actually create stress. It's also a brain boosting activity, because when you create these designated spaces for your belongings, this is actually what your hippocampus loves. And that's where it stores your long-term memory. And, you know, as HSPs, energy management is so important. So we're not wasting any of that energy thinking about where to put it, because you're already logging it into your brain. You know where it is. There's defined folds for things. So as you go around your house, most of the time we pick things up. And if there's no defined fold for those items, the natural human tendency is that we will just plop it down onto any flat surface. And then that's where the clutter magnet appears. But if we have defined holds for things, all you have to do is pick up those things and then put it back into its designated holds. You also gain back time, because then you can train your family members to put it back into its homes, right? And then it just becomes integrated into your family life rather than feeling like everything is on one person's shoulder. So that's another challenge that I hear a lot from parents. Parents will say, oh, I feel like nobody pitches in. It's all on my shoulders. But there's two things to be aware of. One is to be aware of, is there actually a system at home? Because if there's no system, if there's no homes that are deferring for the belongings, it's going to be really challenging for family members to be trained up. Number two is also recognizing, are you taking away the opportunity from other family members? So don't pick up after them. Use it as a learning opportunity. So even though I really want to just grab the clothes from the floor and just put it into the washing basket, I'll take that mindful pause and breath. And then just remember that it is that learning opportunity, because, you know, it is muscle memory. They need to physically practice it, and then it just becomes integrated. So then you might see something on the floor, and then you could tell your family member, hey, I see that on the floor. Can you put it back to where it belongs? So it's a really gentle way. We use a lot of positive language and communication skills as well. So when we also hold space for our family members' opinions, this is where we can actually have wonderful conversations, and they feel safe. They don't feel judged. It's a no judgment zone. Even if they want to keep something that has holes in it, if it's sentimental to them and they're just simply not ready to let it go, that's okay. There's no shame. There's no judgment. And I find that the more this is practiced with children, this means in the long run, when they become older, they're not going to feel fearful around sharing the important things with you. When they become older, by practicing letting go, they're going to feel confident to be able to let go of toxic relationships that don't serve them, or jobs that may not serve them as well, rather than just tolerating and enduring. So I see that pattern a lot. And it also comes back to, because we haven't been taught how to express ourselves and the recognition that letting go doesn't have to be something that's so daunting, right? I wanted to just also ask everyone here as well, if you have any questions, you can feel free to drop it into the chat box as well. Okay, I have some questions here. Are there any special techniques to help with senior family members? Yes, yeah, so holding space is number one, and it has to come from emotional readiness. I find that especially with seniors, you know, they just love to share. They might not need the item anymore, but sometimes they just want to be able to share that story one last time. So it might even look like they're going to let go of the item, but you can also suggest to them that, oh, we can take a picture of it before we let it go. And another aspect I find really empowering for people to let go is mindfully donating and giving away. So when they know that it's going to go to a good home, it might look like charity organizations that need support. The one that I have been supporting is to end homelessness, people who are having a fresh start. Then you can create starter kits for them, whether it's bedding or kitchen items, et cetera. So knowing that we're giving a second lease on those items, it makes it easier for us to let go. And I find, especially with seniors, they just want to make sure that it is going to be donated in the right place. I want to just acknowledge, thank you so much for sharing about the shame around clutter. So this is a method where we're able to hold space for ourselves. And this is where we're able to befriend our inner critic. Because one of my favorite quotes is, you can't shame yourself into change. You can only love yourself into evolution. Isn't that beautiful? So this method is rooted in love and gratitude, and we use those to be able to recognize where the shame comes from, right? And also just acknowledging, like how I had mentioned earlier, most of us have never been taught how to declutter and to let go. This is also a way for us to acknowledge the generation before us and just to recognize, hey, I'm feeling empowered now to be able to break the cycle. This is where we just hold space, and it's all about emotional readiness. This is something I had mentioned in the business community as well, that we all have our comfort zone, we have our stretch zone, and we also have our panic zone. But this is going to look different for each and every one of us. This is also why this method is so different from what you might see out there. It's not about rainbow coordination or making everything Pinterest perfect. It's not surface level tidying. And it's not about, you got to get rid of 50%. I mean, doesn't that just not feel very safe to your nervous system? It's all about pacing, especially when I work with clients that might have chronic conditions. I make sure that they are listening to their body. It is a beautiful mind-body awareness practice by being able to strengthen the bond between our mind and our body, which I'm sure many of us have experienced the dysregulation because we have grown up in a world that doesn't support our mental health and our sensitivity. So this is where we're able to take back our power by practicing the yes and the no's, creating that soothing sanctuary that charges us up so that we're able to shine our sense of superpower onto everyone because the world needs us. I'm so grateful for Julie and the team and the Sensitive Empowerment Group because it is a safe space, right? Like what a beautiful, safe digital space that they have created for all of us. And we can absolutely create that in our physical sanctuary as well. Thank you so much for being here with us today. So to find out more about my work, please visit Spark Joy and Flow. And there are also free resources available there to help you get started. You know, I'm really excited to guide you through your decluttering journey where you will be able to come back home to yourself. If you'd like to join our nurturing and supportive community, you can find us at sensitivecommunity.com. There are various groups within the community from Spiraling Up for those living with depression, the newly launched men's group and autistic women's group. And I'm also a member of the group within HSPs and Heart Center Business. And it's an incredible space filled with amazing resources and support where we can forge authentic connections. If this resonates with you, we look forward to welcoming you in there.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please share these episodes and write reviews wherever you listen to help more people find them. And together, we can help the sensitive and neurodiverse flourish at the highest potential so they can share their much-needed gifts and talents with the world. Visit sensitiveconnection.com for more information, and I hope you are taking extra good care of your beautiful, sensitive self.